And he looked at me and he says, well, you know, instant in season and out of season. And I said, yeah, that's you. Not me. But he said, well, today I guess it's going to be you. And I said, okay, I can do it, I think. Well, I can't do it, but God can do it. Okay, guys, that's what you get is God, because it's not going to be me. However, we are going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, okay? And that is snow. You all know that I like snow. Everybody knows it. Everybody blames me for all the snow that we get, and I'm perfectly happy with that because I do like snow. But you know what? The Word of God supports me in my love for snow, because snow is mentioned 26 times in the Bible. 26, that's not a little bit. That's a lot of bit, you know? There's a lot of things that aren't mentioned that many times, but snow is mentioned 26 times. Now, it's mentioned in different contexts, of course, but it's still mentioned that 26 times. Snow is very translucent. It's not white. Even though we see it as white on the ground, it's not white. It's translucent. Ice particles, but it's actually colorless because of the ice. If you look at an icicle, there's not any color to an icicle, is there? The difference is light doesn't pass through translucent materials. It reflects the light. So snow reflects the light, and that's why when you see snowflakes on the surface, it creates a white appearance. Snow starts by dust. Now, I found that fact very interesting to me because we are created from dust. But as the snow falls down from the sky, it doesn't start as snow. Of course, it starts as wet. And as it goes through the atmosphere, it picks up particles of dust that freezes to the precipitation, basically, causing it to be icicles or ice particles, causing it to be snow, which I find pretty interesting, actually. But the wavelengths of light are absorbed while others are reflected. That's why it turns white. Okay? So, and an object takes on whatever light the snow is reflecting. For example, the sky's blue sometimes. Sometimes it's gray, but sometimes it's blue. And it's because of the wavelengths of light that are going through the sky, and it's reflecting that, and it absorbs those colors. Okay, I'm not a scientist like my sister, but she's a biology major, and I'm not that. I do biology well, but I will tell you that Wayne probably knows more about science than I do, but that's okay. 70% of all fresh water on Earth is frozen. Now, when I first studied this 6 years ago, when I first did this study, it was 80% of all fresh water was frozen. I looked it up this morning to see what it was now, and in 2021, 70% of all fresh water on Earth was frozen, as ice or as snow, either one. It accounts for 12% of the Earth's surface, which isn't very much of the Earth, but it still accounts for quite a bit. The highest snowfall ever recorded in a year, in 1 year period, was 95 feet, or 1,140 inches. And it was in 98 to 99, July 98 to June of 99. And it was in California at Mount Baker. So it was at the top of a mountain, okay? In a 24-hour period, in one 24-hour period, the greatest amount of snow was in Caparacatta, Italy. And it snowed 100.8 inches. I like snow. I'd love to see that. However, my husband would kill me, so I don't know whether I'd see it or not. But but I'd even like a foot. I'd settle for just a foot. But anyway, so 100.8 inches, that's a lot of snow. That's a lot of feet of snow. So the Bible not only talks about snow, but it also talks about it in several different ways. It talks about it as cold stuff in the winter. It also is used to describe how white something like clothing or leprosy is in the skin. There are several times in the word that it mentions leprosy and their skin being as white as snow. So it talks about it, and it talks about clothing because it talks about the angel of the Lord revealing Jesus' resurrection. In Matthew 28:3, he states his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. In it talks about it as purity. Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool, being warm. It also says in Isaiah 55:10, as the rain and the snow comes down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and the bread for the eater. So it talks about snow also being nourishment to the ground. Just as Jesus' word is nourishment to our soul, snow is nourishment to the ground, because the ground we know needs water, right? Whether it comes in the form of snow in the winter or rain in the spring or fall, or even sometimes we get a summer shower. So all the weather is controlled. It also mentions It also mentions snow as being in Psalms 148:8 is one of the places. But it's talking about praising the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all oceans and depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. So snow is one of those things that is controlled by God. Just as if we allow our lives to be in him, we also can be controlled to do his bidding, as long as we have it. Now, snow doesn't have a choice. We do. We have that choice to know God. We have that choice to obey God and do his bidding, because that's what he wants us to do, is to do his bidding. Job mentions snow four times. He speaks about it. Heat and drought snatch away the melted snow like the grave snatches away those who sin. In Psalms, snow, there is mentioned it in the text four times. Talks about it, how it speaks, how it spreads and scatters as the kings were scattered. Snow is scattering. Snow is covering. It covers everything. So when I think about snow and my love for it, I love snowballs. Okay? I love to throw snowballs. Now, I will tell you, my husband doesn't like me to get out in the snow and throw snowballs at him. I will also tell you that my husband doesn't like being out in the snow much because I have a tendency to slip and have an accident. He doesn't like that either, okay? And I don't really like that either, for that matter. You know, that's not my favorite thing to do, is to fall down. But I've done it often enough that I'm getting pretty good at it. But it still can clump together too. Just as if we cling to the word, we can clump with the Lord. We can form that ball with the Lord. just like snow forms a ball when we form a snowball. So we can be formed by God's presence. We can be formed by God's word. The difference between us and snow is that we have a choice. We absolutely have a choice to do this. We have a choice to stay in God's word, to pray, to become like God, to become like Jesus. Are we ever going to get to his level? Absolutely not. Are we ever going to understand everything he understands? Absolutely not. But that doesn't mean that we don't still want to reach out, that we still don't want to try to do that. Correct? We want to try to be as close to Jesus as we can. Snow represents a cleansing from the Lord. And even though it's mentioned several other ways that rings clear with what snow really is, because it does, it mentions it as a cleansing, it mentions it as pure, it mentions it as reflects light, just like we should reflect the light of Jesus. We should reflect the light of the Word, the light of Jesus in us. So if we know Jesus and we can reflect him, we are similar, at least, to snow. Now, snow is very unique. It's kind of like DNA. Not one snowflake is like the other, except it's all made of the same thing. We are all made of the same thing, the dust, right? Snow is all made of the same thing, H2O, and a little bit of dust here and there. But that doesn't make us exactly alike. So my influence in this world for Jesus is different than Brendan's or Sandra's or Pam's or Connie's. My influence is different than all of you, because you all have a different circle of people that you can influence. I know you. I know you all, you know. But I don't know all of your friends, all of your family. Now, some of your family I do know, but not all of them. So you have a unique ability to be a witness and to be the light of Jesus and reflect that light, just like snow reflects the light that they have around it. We can reflect a stronger light, really, because we are reflecting Jesus. And we need to always reflect Jesus in every single one of our interactions. Everything that we say, everything that we do, everything that we are, whether it be here in church, whether it be at work, whether it be at home, we need to be sharing the good news. Is it easy? Is it out of my comfort zone? Yep, sure is sometimes. Sometimes it's people that I don't know. Actually, sometimes it's easier to share the good news and easier to share Jesus with people I don't know than it is to share it with people I do, because they know me. They know how I act. However, I will tell you, there's something different. I have two brothers. You all probably know this, but I have two brothers, and neither one of them are saved. My sister and I are saved. My father wasn't saved until the day he was dying. My mother goes to church regularly, and I'm not her judge. So whether she's saved or not is her and God, not me, okay? But my brothers, I know for a fact, are not saved. They don't go to church. They don't talk like Christians. They will outright tell you that they are not a Christian, that they don't believe, okay? And yet, for my younger brother especially, he will always reach out to me and say, "Will you pray for me?" Because he knows there is a God, but he doesn't know how to pray to him. And I'm constantly telling him, "You know, Kurt, you can pray. He won't hear me. I don't know him. He won't hear me." I said, "If you speak out to him, he will hear. But yes, of course, I will pray for you." And I do pray for him right then, most of the time. There have been times that I haven't prayed for him right then, but most of the time I pray for him right then. Because I want to be the snow reflecting Jesus in my circle. In my circle of people, in my family, in my people, I want to be that snow. I want to be that reflection of Jesus, just like we all should be the reflection of Jesus. Whoops, wrong one. Sorry. Where was that at? 14, okay. In Jerusalem, in Jeremiah, and in Jerusalem, they were preparing, the people of Judah was preparing. And it says this: "Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you, so turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions." But they will reply, "It's no use. We will continue with our own plans. We will all follow the stubbornness of our evil hearts. Therefore, this is what the Lord says: inquire among the nations who has ever heard anything like this. A most horrible thing has been done in virgin Israel. Does the snow of Lebanon ever vanish from its rocky slopes? Does it cool waters from distant sources and ever stop flowing? Yet my people have forgotten me, and they burn incense to worthless idols, which may make them stumble in their ways in the ancient paths. God will not forsake us. God will always be with us." Always. Not just once or twice. Not just when we seek him. God will always be with us. Always, just like the snows of Lebanon never vanished from the slopes. God will always be with us, and we are to be with him and be snowing in our circle of people. Thank you, Lord. I have a few questions I want to ask you. Now, you all know I teach the kids, and I told you I was going to teach you all like kids. No, I was going to, I'm not a good adult teacher, okay? But I want to see how well you learned our lesson today about snow, and see how well you know that the Bible mentions snow for certain purposes. And so, I want you guys to answer, how many verses did I say in the Bible have the word snow or snowy or snows in it? 26, that's right. And snow refers to clean, like in Psalms 57:1, or 51:7, excuse me, I said the wrong reference, 51:7. Is that true or false? Psalms 51:7 says, "Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." So it does say it there in 51:7, and it refers to being clean. I mentioned this in early on. I said snowflakes are frozen pieces of dust with moisture on them. Did I say that, or did I not say that? True or false? It was true. That's right. Do you know how many sides are on a snowflake? Six. Michelle, six. You are correct. And every snowflake has six sides, unless it's been broken, I guess, or melted a little bit, maybe. But every snowflake has six sides. But are snowflakes unique, like DNA? Yes, they are. True. The Bible mentions snow as being good for the earth. Is that right? It does. It also mentions that snow is not white. It's translucent. Is that true? Okay. I said all those things were true. And then I had a couple of numbers in those questions. But what I want to make sure you get out of this lesson, and I told the guys, I said, this is going to be a really short, you're not going to have Rich's sermon, okay? Because Rich's sermon would last till noon, and I can't do that. So I said it would be short, but what I want you to take away from this is that snow represents the cleansing of the Lord, and that we can reflect that purity, reflect that light, as Jesus reflects it in us. We can be that circle, be that witness. Seek out those people in your circle and be that light and be those people whom we have interactions with to reach the lost. That's the commandment from the Bible, is to reach the lost. Go into the world and reach the lost. That's why we have that missionary wall out there, is to reach the lost. They go because we can't. That's why our daughter lives in Jordan. She goes because we can't or don't feel that calling. Personally, that's why I live in Iowa. I told God 41 years ago, Lord, anywhere but Iowa. He didn't listen to me very well. Our first place we lived was in Iowa City. Our second place was in Clarinda, Iowa. It wasn't until our third place that we lived that we moved to Illinois. You know, my husband will tell you that we only live on the borders because that way I can smell Missouri. Well, that wasn't quite true when we moved clear up here. I said, okay, now what's your excuse, sir? He says, well, we're still on a border. I said, yeah, but it's not a long ways from Missouri. But it's still Midwest. And it's still my circle to show Jesus' light. That's what we have to do. We have to share the good news. That's how we are going to grow. That's how God's going to use us. That's how we'll grow the church and of God. And I'm not talking about just this church. I'm talking about the church of God in whole. Okay? But it is also how we're going to reach the church of this church, and how we're going to grow this church, is by us reaching out to the people who are lost and bringing them in. Whether it be for a special function to start out with, like the fifth Sunday in bowling. Who could you invite to bowling? You know, on a Sunday afternoon, to get them to come and to fellowship and to get to know us, because a lot of people are not willing to step foot in the church building because they don't know anybody, or they maybe know one person. Whereas if they get around us and get around our people group, they get to know us, they'll feel more comfortable to come in. I know my older brother says, I won't go to church because if I go to church, the doors will fall down. The building will fall down. I've probably heard that 18 times or more in my life with Vernon. But you know what? When I've gone, and I've gone to, well, I've had a funeral recently when my father passed away a couple of years ago. That service was held in church. And I looked at my brother afterwards and I said, did the building fall down? He looked at me like, what are you talking about? And I said, you said you would never come to church. I said, the building didn't fall down. So you could go to church. You could try it. Well, he always gives me the guff. But one of these days, he's going to give in. One of these days, he's going to figure it out. But in order for us to build the kingdom of God, We have to invite the lost. We have to develop friendships first. Because I can tell you, statistically wise, it is not known. It is not statistically supported that if you don't build a friendship or a relationship first, that people will come in with just one invite to church. Unless they've been in church and they're just looking for a new church. But the lost don't know what they are missing until you tell them. How many times can you say when you've entered a new job, when you've entered a new situation, or a new thing that you're doing, when you're learning something new, a new craft, a new hobby, a new anything, can you say, well, I don't really know what I don't know? I've spoken those words many times. I don't know what to ask because I don't know what I don't know. The lost doesn't know what to ask either. They don't know what they don't know until we tell them. That's our job. That's what God commanded us to do in His Word, is to tell them. Tell them what they're missing. Let them see it in our lives, not just with words, but with lives. Be that influencer. Be that enlightener. Be that reflection. Be that reflection of light of Jesus. Just like He is the reflector to us. He is what we are absorbing. When we come to church, He's what we absorb. When we're reading the Word every day, that's what we absorb. So we're absorbing all the light from Him. Let us reflect then to others, to the world around, to people, and to tell them, what we know so that they will know what we know, so that they will feel comfortable coming in and learning even more about Jesus. I learn more about Jesus every single day, as I'm sure all of you do, as we all should be learning every day. I learn something new every day I walk out of the house. I learned today how to turn the windshield wipers off on my car, okay? Because my husband turned them on yesterday coming home, and they're set on automatic for me, so I didn't know how to turn them off, so I had to learn. So I learn something new every day in Jesus, in the world, in my job, in just getting to know people. You learn something new about their lives. Let us be that reflection of Jesus. Let us be a snowflake and reflect the light of Christ. Now, I know all of you are not praying for her foot of snow, but I will still continue to pray, just so you know. So the next time it snows, you can blame it on me, and that's okay. But we need the moisture. We need the nourishment for our soil, just like snow gives. We do need that. We also need the reflection of Jesus, just more than we need the snow. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this day. And Lord, I thank You for the snow. I thank You for the moisture. And Lord, I thank You that You can be the light that we can reflect to others. That You can help us in the church today to reach out and to tell others things that they don't know, that they don't know that they don't know. Lord, help us to be an influencer. Help us to be that reflector. Help us to be that witness for You, Father. To grow ourselves, to grow the church in whole, and to grow our church as well. Help us, Lord God, to only give it to You, Lord. Lord, we thank you for that, and we praise you for that. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Now help us to go out into our community today and into our community this week, Lord God, and spread your love. Spread your reflection, Lord God, in our words, in our actions, and in our daily thoughts and prayers. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thanks, guys. Remember, Tuesday morning is Moms in Prayer. Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. is the Men's Journey Group. Wednesday night, 6:30 here is the Women's Group. We're studying the Book of Significant. And then the annual business meeting's coming up on the 6th of February, as well as the bowling night on the 30th of January. Yes, sir. What? Oh, Monday night's prayer. I skipped that one for some reason. I started on Tuesday, didn't I? That's why. Sorry. Monday night's prayer here at 7 o'clock. Okay? So we got Monday night covered, Tuesday night covered, Wednesday covered. We'll give you off Thursday, Friday, okay? Saturday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday even. All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks for putting up with me. And we'll see you the next time we see you. Hopefully, ladies, hopefully it'll be Wednesday night. I'm kind of partial.